I'm going to be preaching this evening on get over yourself. You'll get it here in just a minute. You'll get it here in just a minute what I'm talking about. I know you will. You're going to be, I don't know. We'll find out. Philippians, the second chapter, if you would. Turn with me to the second chapter to the third verse. Philippians, the second chapter, the third verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That's just very plain and simple. But boy, I tell you, it says a lot right there. All right? It says a lot. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You know, right there, you could preach the whole night on that. Just, you know what? If every one of us in here would just take that and put that into use, to put that into what it needs to be, if we would esteem everybody in here and everybody around us better than us, man, what a world this would be. What a world this would be that we could. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, I come praising you tonight, Lord. I want to give you the thanks. I want to give you the glory. I want to just praise you for the opportunity to be here on this Sunday evening, Lord. I just thank you for that. I ask you, Father, to be with the hearts here tonight, to be with the minds, Lord. Open them up, Lord. And Father, open my heart and my mind up, Lord, tonight. And open the words up the way that they should come out. And we'll give you the praise and all. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Amen. I was thinking as I was preparing this sermon this evening, this message, you guys are really blessed to be at this church tonight. Do you understand that? To be at Drift Run Church tonight. And yet, you guys are really blessed to be here. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized this also, that you guys are really blessed to have the pastor that you have. You'll get this here in a minute, I hope. Honestly, there's a lot of pastors out there who are corrupt. There's a lot of pastors out there taking money, sleeping with members, other members' wives, doing all this kind of stuff. You know, I'm a man of integrity. Do you not get that? I'm a man of integrity. Honesty and humility. And humility. Do you realize that? I doubt you'd find a better pastor for this church anywhere. I know what you're thinking right now. I know exactly what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. My wife, you know what? She has got to be the luckiest woman on earth, right? She has got, beyond a doubt, she has to be the luckiest woman on earth. I mean, how many pastors do you know can sing, can inspire inspiring messages, can run the sound system? Well, I better not go that far with it. You know what? Can visit the sick, can counsel people, can, you know what? And also my wife and kids are taking care of my grandkids. Man, I'm good. I'm all that, as I like to say, I'm all that in a bag of chips, right? You might even say, I am the reason that people come to this church. Without me, there would be no church. I'm glad no one said amen. You ever met anybody that felt that way? Huh? Have you ever met anyone that actually felt that way? You know, I knew a guy one time that said that any woman that would marry me would be a lucky woman. And I was thinking to myself, you better find yourself a good car. Because there ain't going to be a woman that's going to put up with that. You know what? I'll tell you, basically, that's what I say to people. You know, like people like somebody that would be a pastor like me that stand up here and actually believe that. I don't believe that. Or a guy that said it. You know what I would like to say to him? Get over yourself. Amen. Get over yourself. Do you understand that? You know, we're nothing without Jesus Christ. I am nothing without Jesus Christ in my heart. I say this and I mean it. I couldn't even put one foot in front of the other if it wasn't for Jesus. We always hear that. I'm going to tell you right now, I could not do nothing without Jesus Christ in my heart. I'll tell you, the last thing I ever wanted to do, and I tell you this, was preach the Word of God. I never wanted to preach it. I said, thank you, Lord, for saving me, but I do not want to get up there. I do not have the means. I am not the man for it, but guess what? God has a sense of humor because you know what? From the moment that He started dealing with me, He wanted me to preach, and I've just been dead. I put it off for years, and finally I couldn't put it off no more. And if it wasn't for Him, I could not stand up here and say a word. I could not get in my thoughts together, no ways, no shape, or form. That's why I tell you more. You know, anybody that thinks that way needs to get over their stuff. Actually, I think of All of us probably need to get over ourselves. Everyone in here tonight, and I'm not being judgmental towards you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but we all need to get over ourselves once in a while. Am I right? We need it. Philippians 2:3 told us that. It said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. I want to tell you something to see, like I told you. That verse of scripture right there, if we would just put that into practice, put that into principle, praise God this evening, we would be able to be able to get over ourselves more than just once. Attitude's everything. Do you agree or disagree with me? I'll tell you what, when we are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to let you know attitude is everything. It is everything. There are times when we are letting the world know, letting our family know, letting those around us, our friends and them know that they need Jesus, that Jesus Christ is our all in all, that Jesus Christ is everything to us. How's the attitude by which we are presenting it to them? You know, are we presenting it to them like, you know what? Like we are all that's it, that we stuff. You know what? If it, tell them, let them know that without Jesus, we're just like they were one time. I'll tell you, I'm no different. I was no different. And you've heard my testimony in here many a times. You've heard it many a times. You know, I was no different than anybody out here that was lost. I was lost. I was heading for a devil's hell. And you know what? I was bound and determined to get there as fast as I could. But praise God, you know what? He had different plans for me. And I'm so glad that he got a hold of me one day, Jake. I'm so glad that he got a hold of me. Attitude is everything. We'll come back to that thought here in a little bit. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I'm going to read that. You can follow along if you want to, but it says it's this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Did you get that? The God of all creation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, put himself in the form of a servant. He became a servant for you and for me. Do you understand what he did there for us? Can you understand? I can't even comprehend that. Do you remember what he did to the disciples? Thank you, Lord. Remember whenever he washed their feet? Remember that? He got down here and they said, oh, no, Lord. He said, yeah, let it be so right now. He became a servant. What is he trying to show us? He's trying to show you and me what the principle, how it is to where we can get over ourselves. It's through the attitude of servanthood. Amen? We can do that. We can be the servants that we need to be. We can get over ourselves by being what Jesus Christ really wants us to be, and that's servant to all those around us. Amen? I believe we can be that. Listen, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do we really comprehend that Jesus Christ became obedient, that he did what was needed to be done for me and you? For our salvation, the perfect sacrifice that was given was because he was obedient to the will of the Father. Remember the time he's in the garden and he said this. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Is there in any way, just say it to him, if there be any other way, if there be any other way that you know what, that Sarah could be saved, or that Patty could be saved, or that Dave or Jake or anybody else in here could be saved, let it happen that way. If it'd be possible. But you know what? It wasn't. He went his way, and he was obedient. And praise God this evening through his obedience. Guess where we're at tonight? Amen. Guess what happened? Guess what we can say tonight? I tell you, praise God tonight. I can say I'm a child of the King. Praise God. You know what? He said, humbled himself and he became obedient even to death. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Listen to me. The name of Jesus Christ, it stirs so many emotions in people. Amen? I can say it and it stirs up the spirit stirs within me when I hear the name of Jesus and what he's done. You go out here in the world, and I've told you this probably 100 times, you can talk about God all you want. But when you bring Jesus Christ into it, they don't like to hear it. Because why? There's only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that is Jesus Christ. There's one name that makes the devils in hell tremble. And that's Jesus Christ. Because of the work He's done. Because of the attitude that He had. That every name, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God and the Father. Praise God this evening. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. The attitude that we have. What we shed. I'm going to ask you this tonight. What is it to be a Christian? Let me ask you that right point blank tonight. What does it mean in your mind to be a Christian? I believe as a Christian is a person who, you know what, follows and imitates Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? I believe we need to be about our Father's business. I told you this morning, the apple don't fall too far from the tree, right? The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. If you are of your Father, if you are of your Father, which is Jesus Christ, if you are born of Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to try to imitate Him in every turn that we do. And that includes the attitude we have. Is that right? Easter, I highly doubt, you know, Easter's drawing near. And you know what, I believe, you know what, do we remember the sacrifices that Jesus made? I believe we do. You know what, I highly doubt anyone in here is ever going to be beaten. I highly doubt that anybody in here is ever going to be scourged or spit upon or mocked or killed like Jesus was. So we'll just skip that lesson tonight. But you know, one of the things we can do, you know, how can we handle being more like Jesus? I believe we do that is in the attitude in which we go out into this world with. You believe that? I believe we will do that. We need an attitude adjustment. Am I right? After all, the greatest person who ever lived was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I will stand up and make no apologies before that. None whatsoever. I'll tell you what, He is our role model. He is God. If you want to imitate anybody, imitate Him. Don't try to imitate me. Don't try to imitate anybody else in this church. You imitate Jesus Christ. That's the one that needs to be imitated. Amen? How many of you wish your spouse, your friends, your children, your wife, your husband, whoever, would act like Jesus? How many in here wish they would be more like Jesus? I don't see any hands going up. You know why? Because I believe that, you know what, they could probably say the same thing about you. Amen? You know what, if you went and asked them, you'd say, oh yeah, I wish they were more like Jesus. I wish they were more like Jesus. The first principle that we can lift from this passage is that we need to get over ourselves. Am I right? We need to get over ourselves. Too many times, you know what? We think we are the it. We think that, you know what? We have all the answers. We have this. A man or a woman that is wrapped up in themselves, I'm going to tell you something like, it makes it for a very small package. Amen? I mean, it makes for a very small package. So how do we empty ourselves? How do we do that? How do we empty ourselves? You know what? How do we get over ourselves? We have to look at life through a telescope and not a microscope. Do you understand what I'm talking about there? When you look at a telescope, you look out there and you see the amassness and the immenseness that's out there, and you realize how small you are. Is that right? Whenever you look through a telescope, you look at these tiny things and you think you're big. You think you're it. Listen to me. I want to tell you something tonight. And I say this with all the love of my heart. You are not it. You're not it. I'm not it. As much as I want to believe that my wife is the luckiest woman on earth, I know better. I'm not it. I am not. Because you know why? One day Jesus Christ showed me. He showed me whenever He saved me. And He got me. And I read His word and I understand how small of a speck that I am in this whole thing. I told you this last week, and I believe this. If God so desire that He takes me out of this pulpit, He will put a man in this pulpit that will do just as good, if not better, if they follow what the Lord wants to do. Amen. I believe that. You know what? I don't look at life through a microscope. I look at life through a telescope. I realize how small that I really am. You know, you realize you're small. And you know what else you realize? You realize that I am not in control. I am not. I'll tell you, there are people who like to think that they are in control. They like to believe that everything and every aspect of their life, they have control over. That's not the truth. Don't let the devil lie to you on that. You know what? I'm not willing to submit myself. Are you willing to submit yourself to a greater power? That's how we get over ourselves too. Are you willing here tonight to submit yourself to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ? I tell you, if you're willing to do that, I'll tell you what you can get over there. You know what? He is the God who created everything. He is the God who he created everything, and guess what? He even created you and me. Yes, He did. Isaiah 45:9-12 says, "Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he has no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begattest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth?" You know what? Why do we question God sometimes? Whenever we try to be in control. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, "Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it, I, even my hands." For those who try to say that the earth was created this way and that way, I'll tell you what, I have never believed that. When I look around this world out here today and I see the beauty, I see how that everything falls into place, I'm telling you, no one, I don't care what they try to spit out there and try to say, you cannot tell me that a higher being didn't create this. You cannot. No matter what they want to, what they come up with, it's too perfect. It gets in conjunction too much. I forget what they told here a little bit. If the sun was just, I don't know, a degree farther this way, or the earth was a degree farther, somehow or the other, that the earth would burn up, or if it's another way, that the earth would freeze. Tell me that there wasn't a creator that put this into place. Oh, it just happened. It just happened. I heard statistics on that one time that said for somebody to believe that, it would be like taking a little pin, a head of a pin, and dropping it out of an airplane, and with a bunch of other pins, and it's just one, and dropping it on the whole state of Texas. I think it was like 3 foot high, and you dropping out of an airplane and dropping right down on top of it and picking it up. That's what the odds of that being would be. Now you tell me that you cannot believe in a God that created heaven and earth. Praise God, then I tell you, I believe it. We need to recognize and realize that God is in control. He is the God that is in control. He has the ability to reward us. He has the ability to correct us whenever He wants to. And you want to talk about something that really gets it? You know what? You want an attitude adjustment? Listen, whenever God corrects you, you will get an attitude adjustment. Amen? You'll get it. He has the power to give life, and He has the power to take it away. He does. You know what? We can't control the weather, whether it snows. We can't control whether it rains. You know, as much as we would like to think that we can even predict it, I'll tell you what, they can't even predict the weather with accuracy. They can't predict it with accuracy. Not alone try to do any of this stuff they try to think that they can. But praise God, we have one that knows what's going on. We have one that controls all this. To empty ourselves, to rid ourselves of the notion that we are in control, I'll tell you what, that right there would be an attitude adjustment in itself. Amen. That would be an attitude adjustment within itself. Praise God this evening. I'll tell you what. God knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He is in control of what's going on in our lives. I hope we understand that. Not only is it humbling, but it is empowering. Do you know that? It can be humbling to us, but it also can be empowering to us to know that God is in control. Why? Because you know what? The God that created everything, if He is in control, He knows what's best for you and I. The God who keeps all things, who is in effort, you know, he keeps all things in His control. And I praise Him for that. It's God who wants us to be our leader. He wants to be our leader. Listen to James 4:13. "Go to now that ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go in search of a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get grain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even but a vapor." It is even but a vapor. Praise God. "That appears for a little time. Then it vanishes away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil." It's evil. Do you get that? That we have nothing to boast about. We have nothing that we can hang our hat on and say, "Listen, I know what I'll be doing this. I'll be doing it." Remember the man that had the barns? He said, "I'll tear down my barns and build bigger." No. He said, "Thou fool," what do you think, "thou fool? Today thy soul shall be required of thee." Let's get over ourselves. Part of our getting over ourselves is to give up our bragging rights. I hate to do that to first of that. That is not me whatsoever, shape, or form. And I was at the house, I studied, my wife seen me, she seemed to laugh, and she said, "What are you laughing about?" I didn't tell her. She knew that I had something up my sleeve. But praise, I want to tell you something this evening. Listen to me. I have nothing to brag on. As much as God has blessed me with what He has blessed me with, it's what He's done. It's nothing that I've done on my own. And I hope we realize that this evening. I hope we do. You know, I want to read you a little story before I close here tonight. There's a man who paid for a painting at a garage sale. He paid $5 for the painting. He ended up selling the painting for $1 million. This is a true story. It happened out in California. What it was, a lady had had this painting in her garage for 40 years. 40 years. She kept it in there. She just thought it was some old painting that somebody had, and she set it back in her garage. Well, she had a garage sale, and when she had the garage sale, this guy come along, and he liked it, and he bought it for $5. So he took it home, and he hung it on his wall in his kitchen for 2 years. We happened to notice that on the bottom of it had the name of the painter. And so what he did was, the painter's name was Decker. So he got to look, Googling it, got online, got to looking. Here, this guy painted this picture back in the 1800s. It was he had took a picture of it on his phone and sent it to an art gallery in New York. As soon as they seen it, they called him. They said, "We'll buy it off of you." They realized what it was. You know what? Listen, and I thought the story, when I read the story and what it said at the bottom of it was this. The painting was not valuable because of where it was located. Because it was in a garage. It wasn't that. It wasn't valuable because of who owned it. This was some 29-year-old guy that was not even famous. But you know what? It was valuable because of who created it. You are valuable this evening because of who created you. You are valuable to God this evening because of who created you. Our Creator, Jesus Christ. Our God and our Savior. Amen. It is our Creator and His work in our life. You know what? When He give our control over to God, praise God, I'm going to tell you something right then, is when we realize we can get over ourselves. We can do that. And I want to tell you tonight, you know what? We all need to get over ourselves. Hey, come and get a song. I'm done this evening.